Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of Sister AJ's broadcast, Is This the Church? And I'm so excited to be in studio today because coming to studio on Wednesdays is like going to the gym and just punching away at a punching bag. Listen, I don't know about Sister AJ, but that's what I'm going to be doing all day long. I'm going to be looking at that series, The Chosen, Dallas Jenkins' series, and I'm going to say it's a punching bag, and I'm just going to start wailing at it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be hitting it for 2 hours. What a rubbish series, and I'm putting it mildly. To see Jesus last week, going over his Sermon on the Mount, rehearsing and making mistakes and going over it. No, wait a minute. I didn't say that right. That's not my Jesus. That's an apocryphal Jesus. My goodness. What a garbage show. Pure garbage. Look, it's the kind of show that you take to the curb and you wait for the garbage men to come pick it up. It's just rubbish. But I'm going to have a conniption here. I'm going to have a heart attack, so let me calm down. When I think of the chosen, I think of those two puppies that I have to walk. I got to listen. When I walk them early in the morning and they do their business outside and I have to stoop down and pick it up and put it in one of those little doggy bags, and it that's what the chosen reminds me of, dog doo-doo. And then I got to do it again at lunchtime because these two dinosaur of dogs, they eat, and then they go. My wife has a little, she has a little bell for them by the door, and they start tapping on the bell, and it's, and guess who's got to show up when they tap on the bell? Me. That's my cue. They want to be walked. And then they do that thing outside, and then who's got to bend over and pick it up? It's me again. And then the same thing for dinner. Three times a day I'm bending over and picking up dog doo-doo. And that's what The Chosen is. The TV series is just pure dog doo-doo. Okay, let me bring on Sister AJ because she's probably saying, I better intervene so that my brother doesn't have a heart attack. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
I'm not doing good at all. I'm not doing good at all.
Yeah, I hear. Raring to get started, huh?
That's it. They wanted puppies, and now who's got them? Who's got the two mongrels? Me. Okay?
I'm pretty sure you're getting attached to them as well.
No, I am not. No, I am not. I am not getting attached to them at all. At all. I got one of them. I got one of them who, when you take him outside, he jumps, he dives into the snow, he rolls in the snow. He's just fooling around. And I'm outside freezing for a half hour while he's diving in the snow. As soon as you bring him inside, as soon as you bring him into the kitchen, he squats and he does his business right there as soon as you bring him in.
Still got some training to do with him.
Training? I got to put him in a car and take him somewhere and say, God bless you. I don't want to see you again.
You may as well stay wherever he's at if you try to do that. Don't come home.
Listen, that's fine with me. I've had it with these two. I had it. And then I say, you know, who's chipping in for the dog food? And everybody gets amnesia now, right? And then the other day, I was supposed to bring home puppy chow. They're no longer puppies. They're two used monsters. So my wife says, what happened to the puppy chow? I said, well, the puppy chow was $2 more than the kibbles and bits. And she said, no, those are my babies. You don't get them kibbles and bits. You get them puppy chow. And I said, well, if they're your babies, you go and buy it. That's it. Listen, I'm paying through the nose with these two. I say to myself, okay, vanilla chocolate chip ice cream on one hand, puppy chow on the other hand. Guess what I come home with? Puppy chow or whatever
chow
it is I get them. Because I can't get my ice cream now. There's not enough in the budget for the ice cream. So that's it. No.
I'm so sorry, brother.
Yes, they better not fall asleep. These two better not, my kids better not fall asleep because they're going to wake up one day and the dogs are going to be gone. They better keep their eyes peeled because I've had enough. And by the way, they start barking at 3 in the morning. They bark from 3 in the morning till 6 when I go down into the kitchen. And my wife says, look at the positive side. They're a good alarm system for you. They're a good alarm clock. That's the positive side? That I can't sleep from 3 to 6? Because
well,
one of them...
my dog lets me sleep till 6.
No. It's a joke. It's a joke. I'm going to find them a home real soon. I will find them a home. That's
okay.
It. that's it. That's it. No, they're bad news. They are bad news. They are bad news. Nope, don't want them. And they're tearing up everything, by the way. They're tearing up everything. They chew on everything.
Well, they still in that chewing puppy stage. I'm sure they'll grow out of it with patience and a little training. Don't give up
on
them,
guess
brother.
What? Guess what? I have no patience, and I'm not training them. So, no, it's not happening. Not with me, it ain't. No. Mm-mm. No. So anyway, the Chosen Show, I was trying to figure out, what does the Chosen Show remind me of? Well, I already explained what it reminds me of.
Well, that's an accurate description.
Listen, last week, Jesus is going over his Sermon on the Mount, and he's correcting himself because he got things wrong. God got things wrong.
Well, you're going to see that a little bit more in here going forward, too.
No, this is awful. This is awful.
Yes. That is not my Jesus.
Mm-mm. No. The fact that Jesus had to practice? Jesus had to practice? The one who brought the worlds into existence? The one who is the Word, who all things came into existence by him, and at the end of the day, he said, and behold, everything was good. He's messing up? No.
Well, they're trying to emphasize that he was a man so maybe he was capable of having, but he had limits is what Dallas is trying to say here, but I mean, what kind of biblical consultants are those guys that he has around him if they would let something like this fly?
What kind of a biblical consultant is his daddy?
Exactly.
Who says, I watch every show 20 times so that I can get the feel of it. The feel of it? Please, it's garbage. It's garbage. If you said to me, okay, we're going to torture you, and you have the option of being tortured by watching shows of Laverne and Shirley or The Chosen, I would pick Laverne and Shirley.
At least Laverne and Shirley, you might get a laugh or two every now and then.
Listen. This is bad TV. It's bad. It's really, it's awful. It's just awful. You don't know, listen, he's got so many moving pieces in this thing. This disciple is talking to this one. These things never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is arguing with John the Baptist. John the Baptist is putting Jesus in his place.
Yes.
Then Jesus goes off. Jesus says to John the Baptist, I'm working on something big, which is the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm trying to put it together. I mean, please.
That's right.
This is rubbish.
When the Bible is, it's obvious in the Bible that the Lord didn't need to do that. He went right from healing people to write into the Sermon on the Mount, and he finished that and then, went right on to doing some other stuff. So that this isn't Jesus.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Sorry. Now, that may be a Catholic Jesus. That may be a Mormon Jesus. That may be a Jehovah's Witness Jesus. It may be a Mooney Jesus. But it's not the Jesus of Scripture.
Exactly. This is Jesus is a figment of Dallas Jenkins' imagination is what this is.
Yeah, and his
this
imagination
is an
is
abomination.
Bad. His imagination is bad. bad, real bad. Real bad. No, this is, mm-mm. To see Jesus?
Being presented as a Jesus that has to figure things out.
Yeah.
And work his way through things. He's more of a humanistic Jesus than a divine.
Right. And a Jesus who doesn't want to confront sin, a Jesus
right.
who doesn't listen, it's please. You know, when you look at, for example, when Jesus and John the Baptist are having a conversation and Jesus is telling John the Baptist, "You're going too far, man. You're messing with Herod. You're just going too far." Jesus did worse when he spoke of John when he spoke of Herod.
He called him a fox. A couple
right.
other things that he said about Herod directly.
Right. But in that text that you just mentioned, when he calls him a fox, the term fox is in the feminine gender. He says, listen, Herod is acting like a Jezebel. He's not even acting like a man.
Mm-hmm.
He's acting like a conniving woman. That's even worse. In that culture, you call a man a woman, and he calls him a female
killing
fox.
Words there.
Right?
Yeah.
You're a female fox. You ain't even a... You're not even a man. You're like one of those queens who's plotting, you know. You're like one of the housewives of Atlanta fighting over, you know, your boyfriend. And, you know, that's who you are.
Right. Wow,
and,
yes.
Listen, no. Listen, Dallas Jenkins doesn't have a clue. He has no... And his daddy, oh, my goodness, his daddy should be taken to the woodshed. His daddy should be spanked. Look. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable that you would allow
no.
your boy to be hooking up with the Mormons.
And
I mean,
saying
have we
these
fallen?
Things about Jesus. Whether he was with the Mormons or whoever he's with, these things he's saying about the Lord or the way he's characterizing him, it's like Jerry, based on the books he wrote, the Left Behind stuff, doesn't he know the consequences of basically spitting in the Lord's face?
That's it. That's what they're doing. And all for what? All for 30 pieces of silver, because that's all it is. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You think
for
John
money
the Baptist
and fame.
Was selling right? You think John the Baptist was selling Jesus junk to support his ministry?
No.
No. You think Elijah was selling Jehovah junk to support his ministry? No. These guys are—they're going to come out with the chosen underwears and pantyhose pretty soon.
Well, you know, the Mormons allegedly have those sacred undergarments they wear.
Sure. No. This is rubbish. 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 My goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
And you know, I went on the merchandise page the other day, and I saw where Dallas has a new product, and it's one, and it's a shirt. Remember at the end of the one episode where at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus comes out of there saying, well, sometimes you have to stir the waters. So that's
right.
on a T-shirt and hoodies now.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm gonna do a T-shirt that says sometimes you have to pick up the poop. That's what that's the T-shirt I'm gonna do because that's what this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's what you're doing with this show.
That's it. That's it. And look, we have to do it because it's not fair. It wouldn't be right for us to be saying it's no good if we didn't check it out.
If we
that
haven't
would be
seen
wrong.
It, because you know that's
right.
The first question people will ask. Well, did you look at all the episodes, or did you just look at one or two? You know how people do when you come after their sacred cows, so to speak.
Right, 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 right. No, listen, it's no good. That's it, plain and simple. It's no good. It's incoherent gibberish. You
right.
can't follow this stuff. You just can't follow it. And then Mary
yeah,
Magdalene.
Yeah, the timelines are off. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Mary Magdalene, all of a sudden, now she's back as a hooker? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. You mean to tell me when Jesus said, he whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed, doesn't really work? You mean to tell me that was baloney?
Well, that's I'm glad you brought that up, because that is something that I want to talk about a little bit more today on this
mm-hmm.
program. You know, we got a little smidge left in the episode, and then
right.
what I have a second audio that I sent you, which is actually a response that Dallas gave because he was getting criticism about Mary Magdalene backsliding. And so I want to look at his response, but also I want to talk a little bit about Christians and sin, because I'm not one of those folks that will say, well, if you fell back to temptation, then that means you weren't really saved, or if you're a Christian, you can't, you know, I'm not in that camp. So I want to talk about that some. I want to talk about that in the show today before we move on to the next episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So which audio do you want me to play first?
Well, what we can do, just to recap, to tail end of this video, we can start it at the 42 mark on the episode, what is this, 5 we're looking at. And
mm-hmm.
the scene we're going to come in on is just the scene where the disciples are, where Simon Peter is introducing Simon the Zealot to the rest of the group, and they're just beginning to figure out that Mary Magdalene is missing. And then after that, they're going to run to find Jesus to tell him what's going on. And that's where you're going to see him rehearsing the Sermon on the Mount, and then he's going to send Matthew and Peter to go find Mary. So, and that's pretty much the end of the video. I mean, it
mm-hmm.
looks like it's a lot of time left, but that's just the end credits and, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe a couple bloopers reels at the end. So it's nothing to see, really.
Okay. So we're in season 2, correct me
season
if I'm
two.
Wrong. Right?
Season 2, yes.
And episode number
5.
Okay.
Called Spirit.
Okay, now I'm in season 1. I don't know why I keep clicking on season 2 and it takes me to season 1. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes
yeah.
it'll do that, but there's a drop down where you can pick season 2.
Yep. Okay, so where do I start it at?
42:32, and that's going to be where they're introducing Simon the Zealot, and then they figure out Mary is in the realm.
Okay. Kind of get it there. Okay. Here it is.
People really need to get to write these names. Sorry for the delay.
Like you said, I look like a nice girl. How could you have known? Jethro?
Lily! I thought you were dead or something.
Sort of.
Oh, but you look amazing. Somebody kill me.
Hey, look, I'm here for one thing, and I've got money this time. I can pay for it myself.
Come, come. It's a nice little group. You will like them. Come on. This is Thomas. He overthinks things all the time, but he's growing on me.
Hi, I'm Simon.
That's Nathaniel. He says the first thing that comes to his mind, so don't be offended.
I'm Simon.
This is Rayma. She's an expert vintner. So any question you have about wine, just see her.
I'm Simon.
She knows. The only other woman we have... Where's Mary?
I spoke to her earlier. I haven't seen her since.
Salt preserves from corruption. If it loses its saltiness, it doesn't do what it is. No. No. If salt has lost its flavor, its salty taste, its...
Rabbi!
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mary's gone missing. Rayma checked the forest, but she thinks Mary was affected by the demoniac. She said Mary wasn't feeling right all day.
Hmm.
You don't think she could have gone to Jericho?
Hmm.
Maybe I should go into the city just to be sure. Yes.
I'm coming too.
Are you spying again?
Simon, take Matthew.
Rabbi, I think now...
Simon, this is about finding Mary.
I'll take him.
Matthew.
Yes, Rabbi.
That passage Philip was teaching you.
Yes.
What is it?
If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed deep in the depths, you are there.
Keep that in your thoughts.
Come on, Matthew. Let's find Mary.
Let's find Mary. Let's find Jesus. Let's find the whole cast.
And what is this thing about Philip teaching Matthew scriptures? It's like I just don't get the sense that Jesus delegated the teaching to others.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the rabbi, I mean, if you go to college, I don't see the professor telling all the students, can you give the lecture?
Not usually.
Yeah, I mean, I never went to English class, and the English teacher never told me to get up and teach the class on English. Never. Or anybody
me
else.
Either.
So, I mean, you're calling him rabbi, but he doesn't teach. In fact, he's stumbling. He's mumbling.
Mm-hmm.
Salt,
mm-hmm.
Let me see. Salt, what does salt do? Which way did he go, George?
It loses its saltiness. Oh, wait.
Come on. What is that? This is God. God made salt. God doesn't know what salt does. Are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness, this is so bad.
And this is just a little over halfway through the second season. Lord, have mercy for the rest of them.
Horrible. Horrible. Horrible.
So they're going to go off to look for Mary, and I guess they're somewhere near Jericho. Even though we know in the scriptures they weren't anywhere near here after the Feast of the Tabernacles, they went back to where they to Galilee. But anyway,
I thought they were in Willoughby. That's where I thought they were.
A fantasy.
I thought they were in the Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So. since we're on the subject of Mary Magdalene backsliding or whatever this is, apparently there were people that weren't really happy with that, and Dallas must have taken some criticism. So if you go back to the emails, I sent you a second audio, and Dallas reacts to criticism, and it's about this episode.
All right, so let me pull that
you're
up.
You're going to love this, too.
I'm sure he's going to try to wiggle his way out of this one. Wow. But here's the amazing thing. Think about this for a moment. People mm-hmm. get mad about how he portrays Mary Magdalene, but they don't get mad at how he portrays right.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's okay.
But not everyone, but I guess he got some criticism from somebody, because he's hotter than fish grease in this clip we're about to listen to.
All right, so let's listen.
So Mary is triggered by an encounter with a demoniac, and what are the things that Mary struggled with, at least in the context of our show? She was assaulted. She was sexually assaulted by a woman, as we portrayed in episode 1 of season 1. Her father died at a young age. She's experienced major trauma. So we have her early in the episode. She sees a Roman soldier and is triggered there and doesn't rely on scripture to get her through it. And she feels bad about that later. So she's working through that. Then a demoniac comes, and she is very strong. And she is now a follower of Jesus. So she doesn't get as scared as the others. And she overcomes her fear in many ways with the demoniac. And then Jesus comes and casts the demon out immediately. And it's a very disturbing, scary scene. Violent, disturbing, and Mary's triggered. You know, when someone wants to be alone, when someone wants to go back to their past or struggle with a vice that they've struggled with before, they're going to do it. And one of our co-writers doesn't hide this fact, helped write some of these scenes. He's a former alcoholic. He's been sober 10 years. And he spoke into a lot of this about how sometimes what our triggers can be and what our vices can be. We know Mary struggled with alcoholism. We know she struggled with...
Where does she struggle with alcoholism? He says, we know Mary struggled... Where?
In the first season of The Chosen, she was bar hopping and drinking, so I guess that's what he means.
Where in Scripture? Where in Scripture?
Nowhere.
Where does it say that she was ever triggered by anything?
Nowhere.
Right? And he's putting a first century woman in a 21st century context.
Yes, he is.
Right? So,
'cause PTSD, I mean, that people didn't suffer trauma back then, because, you know, throughout mankind, since the fall of man, people have done terrible things to one another. But, I mean, he's putting a lot of this psychological stuff that we do now into this, like you said.
Right. And notice how in a subtle way he put this episode on another writer.
Yes, but the way I look at it, they're a team that have been approved of by all of them in order to make it into the show, to give it to the script to give to the actors. You know, they go through several drafts of these scripts when they're writing them. So for this to make the final cut, that means all of them had to agree on it. And that's the way I look at it.
Absolutely, but first of all, he throws the guy under the bus twice. One is he's a former alcoholic, boom, threw him under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
That's nobody's business. That's number one. Number two, he wrote that. That's the second time he threw. Like you said, wait a minute, dude, you're the executive producer, and everybody bootlicks your shoes.
Yeah, that's right.
Including your daddy, including your enabling daddy. So, All right, let's listen to this poor excuse.
She doesn't get as scared as the others, and she overcomes her fear in many ways with the demoniac. And then Jesus comes and casts the demon out immediately. And it's a very disturbing, scary scene. Violent, disturbing, and Mary's triggered. You know, when someone wants to be alone, when someone wants to go back to their past or struggle with a vice that they've struggled with before, they're going to do it. And one of our co-writers doesn't hide this fact, helped write some of these scenes. He's a former alcoholic. He's been sober 10 years. And he spoke into a lot of this about how sometimes what our triggers can be and what our vices can be. We know Mary struggled with alcoholism. We know she struggled with trauma. She struggled with demonic oppression. And so some people have said, wait a minute, wasn't Jesus enough? Jesus redeemed her. Why would she do this? You're making Jesus' role in her life irrelevant if she's still going to struggle. And that I find offensive. That perspective, actually, I get angry at very few things. I'm very even-tempered. I don't mind critiques at all. And I don't take this as a critique.
You're a baby is what you are. A baby.
Yes, because he's bad. He claims it doesn't bother him, but you can
mm-hmm.
tell in this he's bothered. And
he's
going to get even more heated here go in a minute.
Okay, let's see. Let's see this baby because we need to get him a pacifier.
Teak, I find the notion that Mary Magdalene was incapable or wouldn't have sinned or wouldn't have struggled or wouldn't have backslid because Jesus had already redeemed her is an affront and an insult and offensive to the gospel, to what the Bible says, and to millions and millions and millions of people who have struggled after they've been saved. And that includes Simon Peter. That includes Paul, some of the heroes of our faith, Moses, some of the heroes of our faith who we consider to be icons biblically and spiritually, talked about and were written about how they sinned repeatedly after their encounters with Jesus.
That's true. However, all these
mm-hmm.
sins that you attribute to Mary Magdalene are not found in the Bible.
We don't know if that's the case. Right.
Right. First of all, the fact that you put her among the men that follow Jesus is offensive.
That's
number
the
one.
First problem.
Right.
And her Jesus casting out demons and healing her of her infirmities is shown in his show as the first miracle, I guess you could say. Well, we
right.
all know the water to wine miracle at the wedding in Cana is the first miracle that's recorded in the Bible. That's listed as his first miracle. So,
So when he says, you know, all these icons, hey, everybody knows they sin. I sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's you know, come on, we're human. That's not
right.
the point. The point is you've taken a Bible character who only appears two or three times in Bible verses, and you've turned her into a main character, and you've given her more lines than Jesus.
Yes.
That's the problem. See? That's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
None of this happened. That she was raped, that didn't happen. It's not in the Bible.
Right. We don't know that's what her life was like, you know, or why
she lost
was
her father.
We don't know why she was demon possessed because the Bible does not get into that.
Right. Right. So all of this that she runs away and all that, first of all, you're arguing a moot point because none of that happened. You're defending something that never happened.
Right.
That's like me. That's like me arguing, why is Peppermint Patty upset with Charlie Brown over the fact that there was no turkey at Thanksgiving? None of that happened. It's a cartoon. Unbelievable.
And that's what this is, a soap opera.
Right. And you can just tell he is fit to be tied.
Oh,
he's
yes,
just mad.
He is.
He's mad. He is mad. All right.
Perspective, actually, I get angry at very few things. I'm very even-tempered. I don't mind critiques at all. And I don't take this as a critique. I find the notion that Mary Magdalene was incapable or wouldn't have sinned or wouldn't have struggled or wouldn't have backslid because Jesus had already redeemed her is an affront and an insult and offensive to the gospel, to what the Bible says, and to millions and millions and millions of people who have struggled after they've been saved.
You see, now he wants us to hold to the gospel. It's an affront to the gospel. What gospel are you talking about? Because you have not presented the gospel.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you want to rest on the gospel?
He plays fast and loose with the scriptures, but now he's offended when
right.
his whole show is an affront to the scriptures and a holy God.
Exactly.
But I believe this depiction of Mary backsliding is a way to pacify carnal people or people who may not actually be converted, you know, making everybody comfortable in their sin. And then also, you know, how he puts a little into himself in these things too, so keep listening. He's
right,
going to say
right,
some
right.
more stuff.
Right, right.
And that includes Simon Peter, that includes Paul, some of the heroes of our faith, Moses, some of the heroes of our faith, who we consider to be icons, biblically and spiritually, talked about and were written about how they sinned repeatedly after their encounters with Jesus, how Jesus was on the cross saving us from our sins.
Okay, let's make a distinction here. He talks about how Peter, Moses, and Paul sinned repeatedly after their encounters with Jesus. The only person you can say that of is Peter.
Right.
You can't say that of Moses, and you can't say that of Paul. Because
well,
I would ask him.
Is saying that because of what Paul wrote in Romans 7. Is
yeah,
why I
see,
think that he gets the idea that Paul was this repeated sinner after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus.
Well, again, that is inconsistent with Scripture,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, and let me tell you why it's inconsistent with Scripture. Many Christians sin in their mind,
mm-hmm.
right? But they do not act whatever sin they have in their mind or in their heart, they do not act it out. Okay? All right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at okay, you think something in your mind, but you never act it out. Now that's a sin. Because Jesus
yeah.
said you don't have to commit adultery with the woman to sin.
Just think about look at her with lust in your heart.
There you go. So, but then we also know that if you take it a step further, now you added a second sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are things that no doubt Moses thought about, Paul thought about, Peter thought about, but they never acted out.
Right.
We can all relate to that. So what I would say to him is show me the places in Scripture where Peter, Moses, and Paul acted out their sins. Show me where. And he wouldn't be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no example. There are no examples in Scripture where these men, you take Peter after the day of Pentecost, the only time that we find them in
that
sin
was
is
that
when
thing
he
that Paul confronted them about.
Correct.
The,
correct.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And
that
was basically being a hypocrite. more so than anything else, being one way with the Gentile believers and being another one way when the Jews showed up.
Right. As soon as the people from James came over, Peter was filled with the fear of man.
Right,
so he compromised,
yeah.
Right? And so for that, Paul, okay. But now, is there another example? We don't have any other example in the
Not that I'm aware of.
Right? Okay. So for him to say that they consistently sinned, where? Now remember, the writers of the New Testament are not the writers of the Chosen who make stuff up.
Right.
So, listen, the Bible says all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. But these men and women of God were consistent in their walk with the Lord. We're not saying they were sinless. Because if they were sinless, they wouldn't need a Savior. We know that. And John says, little children, if any man has sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So, again, listen, we know we sin. That's a given. But I'm not doing like Paula White. I'm not doing like George Bloomer. I'm not engaged in homosexual. Of course I sin, but I'm not doing what George Bloomer does, taking little boys to hotel rooms and molesting them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do what Paula White does. So, again, we sin, but not to the point of disqualification. And remember, those people he's mentioning are ministers who are, if they did sin, they would be what? Ministerially disqualified.
Right. And Paul even talked about that, where he was saying that he buffets his body so that after he's preached to you, he won't be disqualified himself, you know, to keep to discipline himself so he won't fall to temptation.
There you go.
Because nobody's going to listen to anything he says if they find out he's wallowing in the mud.
That's it. So, again, yes, all have sinned. Oh, absolutely. But he's mentioning people who, if they did sin to a certain extent, they would have to be sat down for ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't find that. So he is dishonest. That argument is hollow.
That don't know any better are going for it, though.
Right. And again, this whole thing about Mary Mac, see, he's in trouble because he made stuff up. And
his
when you don't make
is
stuff
shaky to begin with, because this is a made up story.
Correct. Again, think about it. He has a Jesus who can't get his story straight. Who doesn't know what salt is? Who doesn't know what salt does?
Right.
Seemed
surprised when they told her that Mary was missing.
Right. And then who said, what did that brother teach you about that scripture? What did he tell you? Jesus is running a school and he doesn't do any teaching? He's got substitute teachers.
He's letting someone else do it.
Oh,
which we know
goodness.
Jesus did not delegate that responsibility. The Jesus in the Bible. Jesus is just all over the place.
Right. Yeah, and I'm looking at his picture right now as the video is frozen. He's mad. Oh, he's mad. This episode triggered him. The demoniac triggered him. Yeah.
Right.
Because we can't be perfect, because we're going to backslide, that's why he did it. And so this notion that Mary Magdalene got saved by Jesus and therefore never would have struggled again or never would have gone back to her vices again is basically, I believe, flies in the face of everything that the scriptures say. Never do the scriptures say. Once you've been saved by Jesus, it's all good from here. Now it's just a matter of following. Paul wrote an entire section in scripture about how he goes, I sin all the time. I'm rooted in sin. I don't want to do it, but I do it all the time. why do I do that? And he was one of the greatest followers of Christ and disciples of Christ and apostles and leaders and...
Yeah, but what does Paul, what did Paul say that he do? Was he a pedophile? Was he a bar hopper?
No, I'm telling you, he's talking about Romans 7.
Right, absolutely, yeah. I mean, he just put his foot in his mouth now.
What does he say at the end of Romans 7? And if I may read that really quick.
Yes, absolutely.
Romans 7:24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And then he goes into 8, where there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, you know, Dallas didn't tell the rest of that chapter. Yeah, I don't even know if he's read it, because Paul would call himself chief among sinners and stuff like that, talking about his past before he was converted. But there's nothing in the scriptures to suggest that he was still actively sinning.
Correct. And condoning
not to the
it,
level
you know.
Of right, at least not to the, you know, unrepentant, where he's just constantly living this lifestyle like he used to before. There's nothing to say that he ever did that.
No, and scripture does not teach that once a person is saved, yes, there is a break in the sin nature, but the sin nature is still there. This is why Paul says that we crucify the flesh, right?
That's right.
And the best analogy that can be given is, and of course I don't like to use Dracula movies, but here's the analogy. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid and I would see Dracula movies, I know that once you put the stake in Dracula's heart, he was dead.
Right.
And there were movies where at the beginning of the movie, some idiot opened up his Dracula's casket and said, "What is this piece of stick doing here?" And he took the stick out. And Dracula came back into being. It's the same thing.
Right.
You have to crucify your flesh every day. If not, you're going to be running amok.
Right. And I have another scripture, again, if I could read a couple of verses.
Sure, absolutely. Read them.
Galatians 5 and a lot of great stuff in this chapter, but I wanted to look at 16, where Paul, when you're talking about the sin nature, he's saying, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he gets into what the works of the flesh are. But in my Bible, the word Spirit is capitalized. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit, right? God, the Holy Spirit, and
absolutely.
How he assists us in our sanctification, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, he's like Joel Osteen, basically, you know, give everybody a pass, you know, that, you know, mm-hmm. you know, they just give them a pass.
We can't
they'll
help it.
Right. They'll figure it out. They'll mature in Christ. Some, you know,
like Jink and Jesus were saying when they were talking about the pool of Bethesda. He's like, well, maybe somebody will figure it out and tell us one day.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And this is just nonsense. Nonsense. Because, again, you know, Moses sinned when he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, and he was banned from going into. See, the Bible doesn't hide the sins of God's leaders. The Bible didn't hide David's sin with Bathsheba. The Bible doesn't hide that David took a census, that he was moved of Satan to take a census. You know, God doesn't
but
hide
the thing
those
with David, the thing with David and you know the pimps love to use David as an example of why they should never have to step down after they get caught in some malfeasance. But he's
right.
actually a great example, it to me anyways, in that God's grace and mercy after the sin with Bathsheba, and David for a while was still trying to fix it and cover it up himself. And, you know, sewing his own little fig leaves together rather than repenting immediately.
Right.
And but eventually Nathan came to him and told him what God had said, and David did repent. And we get this beautiful Psalm 51, you know,
right.
that, you know, we can use ourselves. You know,
correct.
Creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renew
mm-hmm.
right. We can pray that prayer that he prayed once he finally repented, and then the thing with the senses, he repented of that as well. And, you know, God let him choose his punishment, but then David relented, and God told him what he needed to do, and he bought the threshing floor and all that. So
right. Right.
Yeah,
See,
David's a great example of the grace and mercy of God and how he gives us an opportunity. And when we do, he will forgive us. But David still had to deal with consequences of the sin with Bathsheba, though.
Listen, he had to deal with the consequences, and it went down in the book.
He didn't.
Right?
God didn't hide it.
Hide it? Even though God canceled out that sin, because God forgave him of that sin, it still went in the book.
That's right.
Right? So God never tries to hide the sins of his people. He reveals them so that then later on people like us can say, okay, I'm in this.
Mm-hmm.
I got the same temptations. I know what happened to David. Let me not make the same mistake and suffer the same consequences. That's why we
right.
were given the book.
And I think that with the help of the Holy Spirit and maturity, that shows a progression in our walks when at some point we just learn how to avoid certain things. You know,
yeah,
it's like
it.
I'm not even going over there. I'm not even hanging with those people. You know, you just learn how to avoid it in the first place. It's great to
Correct.
Have that he's faithful and just to forgive us, but the Holy Spirit eventually, I believe, helps us to learn how to stay out of a lot of situations.
Absolutely.
But it's a growth process to get there if we submit to his leadership. That's the thing, too.
Right, right. And sanctification is progressive, right? You're growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord.
Right.
So, but this guy, again, he's in trouble because the question is not whether she sins. The question is now she's going back to being a hooker.
Right.
That's the problem that people have.
And always assuming she was ever that in the first place. Nobody really knows her background.
Correct.
There's some speculation on who she was and what she was doing before she met Jesus and became demon-possessed or something. But, you know, we don't know.
We don't know. And so here, you know, that's what happens. When you make a pizza, right, and people expect tomato sauce and mozzarella and cheese and maybe some pepperoni, when you take a pizza and you put the tomato sauce and the cheese on it, and then you put dog doodle on it, the people don't want the pizza.
I don't think so. No way. Especially not if I see the dog do.
Oh, my goodness. So this is all his own doing. And I don't care about the co-writer and you know, his take on it. I want the Bible. I don't want your 2 cents. I don't want that.
That's right.
That's not important to me. That's not important. Stick to the story.
And I
don't see
how you can't stick to the scriptures but still tell a good story as well. I mean, why can't you do both? There's
right,
some great
right.
stories in the Bible.
Sure. I mean, if you have Jonah being swallowed by a pterodactyl, people are going to have problems with that. because he was swallowed. Listen, we're not denying he was swallowed.
He was swallowed by a fish, but just not a pterodactyl.
Correct. So when you make stuff up, people get mad. And listen, they should have been pushing back from day one. He's got no pushback other than this one little episode. Because they should have been pushing back on other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's see what he's got to say.
And writers in the entire history of Christianity, in the entire history of the world, and he sinned constantly. And Simon, yeah, all the way to the book of Acts, Simon had experienced the death and resurrection of Jesus and still sinned and still struggled with his temper and still had to be rebuked by Paul. So this notion that Mary Magdalene, because she's backsliding, that we are somehow implying that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough and that her redemption must not have stuck, that really frustrates me. Again, I don't take it personally.
I see smoke coming out of his ears. What does he mean he doesn't take it personal?
He's taking it real personal. I don't know what email he got or something, but boy, he you're right. He's got smoke coming out of his ears, his nostrils.
I can tell that when he grew up, his daddy and mommy let him get away with everything he wanted to get away with. He is not used to being told no. And that's why when Hollywood said no, he prostituted himself.
It crushed him.
Right. Because he does not like being told no. And you know what this does? This tell in a subtle way, he's telling everybody, you can have a bad weekend or two. You can go and do what you want to do, and that'll be okay.
He's turning the grace of God into licentiousness.
That's it. You gotta get out of church pass for a week. Go sin.
Yeah.
Go sin.
That's kind of what they teach or at least imply in a lot of these churches. And he came up under a pimp, so.
That's it. He came under a pimp and he's pimping.
That's right.
All right.
Anyone who's going to grab this clip and say, oh, see, Dallas gets defensive about a show. This has nothing to do with my show. This is about the Bible.
No, it's about your show because you can't find any of this in the Bible.
Right. It's absolutely about his show because in the beginning of his rant here, he said in the context of the chosen, Mary Magdalene, which he's basically saying, according to our show, this is who Mary Magdalene is. So it's all about his show. He's lying.
Correct.
And he is taking it personally.
Correct.
This is his baby.
Correct. He's mad. He's fuming. I used to have when I was a kid, I had a good train set. And in the front of the train set, that I had a locomotive that had a working light. And this particular train set, I had numerous train sets. But this particular train set, out of the front chimney, smoke used to come out. And that's what I see coming out of him. Smoke.
Exactly. He's like a steam locomotive.
He is mad.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe that Mary couldn't have backslid because Jesus redeemed her, we strongly disagree. Now, I'm not going to have the same assuredness that so many others have, in the sense that whether or not she did actually do that, that's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that Mary backslid. We knew this would be a little bit controversial, but we believe it's extraordinarily biblical to show someone who has a deep, deep...
If it's not in the Bible, how could it be biblical, moron?
Well, I guess biblical to show that people can fall into to sin or go or backslide, basically, is
right,
what
but
he's
you
showing
see,
through...
Right, right, right.
Go
but
ahead,
see,
sir.
See, I can't say Alexander the Great did this if he never did it. You see,
right. If we can't find anything in the historical account of his life where he did any of those things, then you're just making stuff up if you say he did.
Right. That see, that's the problem. It's biblical, but it's biblical. Wait a minute. You just admitted
it's not in the Bible, but it's biblical.
Right.
Maybe he's talking
no
about
sense.
the concept of the of sin nature is biblical. Is that what you think he means?
Look, he's all over the map. He's mad. He's trying to defend it. He's got no defensible excuse. That's like trying to pin a murder on me, and you know the murder happened in Hawaii. And I'm in New York, and you're trying to
right.
pin a murder on me.
Right.
I wasn't there. You can't say it's plausible. No, it's not plausible. It's
well,
not.
You know,
why?
People who are lying and making things up, plausible seems to be their favorite word, and you hear Dallas and these guys using it a lot.
Right,
oh,
it's
not in scripture, but it could have happened like this.
See, this is what happens with narcissistic people. You look at Ted Bundy, right? Ted Bundy went to college. He took a couple of law classes, but he wasn't a lawyer. He never took the bar. He never finished anything, right? Now, that doesn't mean he couldn't have been a lawyer. It doesn't mean that he wasn't smart enough to pass the bar, but he never did. So when he got arrested, he, in every one of his cases where he got arrested, he tried to defend himself. And at each stage, the jury found him guilty. Because these narcissistic people, they believe their own baloney, but nobody does.
Right. Delusions of grandeur. You know the old saying, the lawyer who tries to defend himself has a fool for a client.
There you go. He's trying to defend himself, and listen, first of all, you can't defend it because none of it's in the Bible. You made it up. People got mad. They sent you an email. They're telling you off, and it's all your own doing because you made all this up. You made it all up. And it's now you have to live with the your character. She's your character. She's not a biblical character. She's your character. You got to live
with
her.
That's right. That's right.
So, all right, we got a few minutes here.
Struggle to still have war with their flesh after they're saved by Jesus. 100% I believe that happened with all of them. And do I know that Mary then went on a path and escaped and ran away and went back to a bar and tried to win back money that she'd lost in gambling and all that kind of stuff? That's not biblical. Meaning it's not in the Bible, but I believe that the concept is biblical. And I believe that, I have been saved by the Savior of the world. I've been a Christian my whole life. I seek God's heart.
You can't be a Christian your whole life. That's impossible.
We're born in sin.
That's it.
Right.
You can't be just because your daddy took you to church doesn't mean you were a Christian.
Well, I was going to say a lot of people that quote unquote grew up in Christian homes, meaning where they went to church all the time, maybe were even active in church activities, a lot of them think they're Christians.
Right. He was not. You can't be a Christian your whole life. Can't.
Right.
That's, again, that's a moronic statement.
Daily, and I have had sin struggles myself. I've made it a public. It's public that I struggled with pornography, and then I repented of it, and then I struggled again later. I struggled more than once. My wife wrote about it in her book. I've hurt my family.
Now, you see, his wife mentions it in her book because people buy juicy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I stand, when I go to
Walmart. I never heard of the book, but, you know, I guess
right.
It's out there somewhere.
Right. Well, it's at Ollie's. It's at the 50 cents bin at Ollie's.
okay.
But anyway, here's the thing. People put garbage in their books because it sells.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and by the way, I don't care about his pornography. I don't care about his addiction. I don't care about his relapse into I care about the show, and the show stinks.
Right.
That's
what's important, but I'm thinking that why he's so angry because people had a problem with this is because of his own stuff. Like, he puts himself into some of these characters, right?
Right, right.
That's
right,
why I don't
right.
believe it was just one of the other writers that wanted to do this because of what he said right here. I think
mm-hmm.
that he agreed to it because of his own issues. And that's
right,
why
right.
he's so offended that someone would have a problem with this episode.
Right, right, right. And here's the thing. Again, you built your whole show around this. Because, look, let's be honest. One of the main threads in The Chosen in season one up, and now up to season two has been who? Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to defend her now because if people get turned off, then he loses that segment of viewers who will want her fan. So he's trying to rehabilitate her in this little six-minute diatribe here because he can't lose that segment of the followers who have been following because they are Mary Magdalene fans.
Right.
That's all.
And they were so moved by that first episode at the end where Jesus hugs her and calls her by, you know, that whole thing.
Right, right.
Because,
right,
you know,
right.
his father cries every time he thinks about it.
Oh, he was crying.
So.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you're
was
right.
Gonna,
he wants to keep. He wants to keep that audience that really fell in love with this character.
Right, right. And now he feels she might be damaged in the eyes of these
mm-hmm.
people, so he's got to go and rehabilitate her in order to keep them.
Right.
But again, he put her on this pedestal, and now it stinks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's more.
Lots of things that I've done. Not just that, but with other things. I sin all the time. Does that mean Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough, that his redemption didn't stick? No, that's why he did it. That's why he did it, because we're never worthy of it. We're never going to be good enough. We can't do it, and that includes Mary Magdalene. So those of you who are hoping that the next episode is lighter than this one and that we kind of make it all better, and I've even seen some comments saying, I think Mary's just going to, like, help people. Don't get your hopes up. Episode 6 is going to be pretty brutal when you see Mary taking those next steps. It's going to be tough. Spoiler alert. But another spoiler alert. There's redemption. And it's beautiful. And it's for all of us. And that's what this show is for.
I don't want to hear him anymore. He's too greasy for me.
I appreciate you hanging in this long.
Yeah,
bro.
No.
That's the majority of it.
yeah. No, he's just too greasy for me. I had enough of that guy. Listen, just admit that you bombed. That's all. Just admit. That's it. You just, you know, it stunk.
He can't do that, though, because there's money involved.
See, and every now and then, the elite pitchers in baseball throw a pitch down the middle, and the opposing batter just hits it out the park and hits a grand slam. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with a Super Bowl quarterback. He'll throw an interception. The other team will run it over and score a touchdown. You know? Here's the thing. His Jesus is rehearsing his sermon. His Jesus can't get things right. And then he wants to be perfect. Figure that one out. How could his Jesus not be perfect, but he wants to be perfect, and all his shows are perfect, and all his characters are perfect? What are you, delusional? You're the perfect
yes.
one, and Jesus is the imperfect one? You're delusional, man. You're narcissistic.
Well, he's making Jesus flawed just like him. That's what it really looks like.
Oh, my God.
Now, they know they'd never be able to get away with showing Jesus like in the last temptation of Christ. Dallas knows he couldn't get away with that, but he can denigrate Jesus in other ways in order to make him more human than divine.
Right. No. I practice. I rehearse. I write things down. I rewrite them. I edit. I go over things.
Mm-hmm.
I hand things to people. They say, no, change that sentence. I've had that done to me all my life. Every time I went to school, I handed an exam. It was all red. The teacher had red ink my whole test.
Right.
Right? And what do? You go back to the drawing, but not Jesus. I'm sorry. No.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. All right, episode 6, right? Unlawful?
That's right. Yeah, that's the next one.
Okay.
And we do have a Old Testament prelogue in this one,
okay.
So you can go ahead and start it from the beginning.
Okay, here it is.
Fever hasn't broken yet. 5 days.
He will heal. He'll wake up.
And what if our oldest son doesn't heal?
That is why I must teach Abiathar how to make the showbread today.
Now, our family share in the secret traditions of Aaron's priestly lineage will be damaged
yes,
otherwise.
Yes, Yaffa. I'm aware.
It's yet one more in a never-ending string of curses.
You always thinking in catastrophes.
And you, always thinking it's another sunny day.
Send for the boy. 12 cakes. One for each of the tribes of Israel.
But the bread is still here. What didn't God eat, Abba?
God doesn't need food. It's called the bread of the presence because it's a reminder of his presence in our lives. The symbol that he sits at our table, dwells in our midst.
What happens to the old bread?
In the law of Moses, it was written that Aaron and his son shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him the most holy portion of Aaron's food offerings. A perpetual dew.
I always wonder where your Saba went every Shabbat.
Yes. We come here to eat the bread that has been removed, provided neither of us had lain with his wife that morning.
Don't you live with him every night, Abba?
That is a discussion for another time. But for now, we must replace this with the heart bread as an offering to Adonai. Reuben.
Simeon.
Levi.
Judah.
Shimelech.
Abiathar, go home. Tell your mother I sent you and that everything's going to be fine.
This is I are you alone.
Where is your protection?
The king has sent me on a mission. And said that no one is to know anything about it. I've arranged to meet my men at a certain place.
David, my understanding, you and the king are not on friendly terms.
I've been sent on a mission from the king. Please, I haven't eaten in days. And I know my men haven't either. They're in hiding. We could make do with 5 loaves of bread, anything.
I have no ordinary bread.
What about that? That was replaced by the hot bread.
Still holy bread. You know the Lord
Moses. And I know the Pequot Nefesh.
Have the men kept themselves from women?
Truly, they have. And always, they've been in hiding at Gibeah, waiting for me for days.
We must be quick.
So remember,
what I'm about to give you is sacred.
Life is more sacred than bread.
If Saul finds out I helped you, you won't get to keep mine.
I know.
And I'm not sorry. Something is going to come through you. I can feel it. Something bigger, more exciting. I don't know what.
There was nothing bigger or more exciting than that giant.
We'll see.
Okay, so he's basically saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be wrong. I'm not a narcissistic person. I recognize that I am, you know, not as smart as I thought I was. My teachers may be very clear of that. But I guess he's saying that Abimelech sinned in giving David the bread, and I guess we can sin. I guess that's the there's an excuse for sinning.
Well, I guess, but you know, this episode is going to be like the questions about the Sabbath when Jesus' disciples picked the grain and the Pharisees.
Okay.
And Jesus referenced this in his response to them. So I guess that's what he's doing. Although some of the stuff the priest said to David is not what's in the Bible, of course. You know,
right,
he's going to add some stuff.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So here it is.
Are you hungry? What did you do to yourself? That's disgusting. Did you not put down new hay before lying down?
No, did you?
Of course I did.
My mind is racing. I guess I wasn't paying attention.
We split up today,
we'll be able to cover more ground.
We're not splitting up.
It would be more logical.
Jesus wants you back in one piece. You said it was breakfast?
No, I asked if you were hungry. Do you know how to make eggs?
No.
Boil water? Put the egg in the water.
No.
What is it?
I'm not the cook. For starters.
Neither am I. But we must sustain ourselves. While you make eggs however you like them, you can also devise our plan for the day with me.
Fine. You know, we may have to consider the possibility that she went somewhere other than Jericho.
Ephraim or Bethel?
No. Too much wilderness to cross between camp and either of those places. She's most comfortable in cities.
You think she's still here?
I do. We must analyze her history what she normally does.
Lately, before this, all she did was study Torah with you and Rema.
I checked the synagogue. The official said they hadn't seen her.
How did you describe her?
How would you?
She's black. Black hair?
Long black hair.
All our women have long...
Sometimes she can't even cover it all. She must be inconsolable. Or distressed.
Anything else?
Unusually pleasant to look at? You want to add water to the pot before it heats up.
Okay, Matthew.
You all right? Just another night of the nomad.
Nomad?
I can't believe I made it up the stairs. Dionysus carried me. Whoa. Right. Pause off, rat.
Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah, you gave a description of Mary to the official.
What did he say about the stairs?
What flowers can you eat? Rose, borage, dandelion. A little tangy, but who's going to complain? How do you know so much about edible flowers? My family has been poor my whole life. You learn what the earth can give you. But your son is... My son is a homeless nomad who no longer brings in income for carpentry. And you're smiling about it. I'm smiling because he is doing what he was born to do. And maybe sometimes that means we will be hungry for a few days. But at least his time has come.
If his time has come, why doesn't he just bring Mary back?
It doesn't work that way.
And how does it work?
Sometimes he is as much a mystery to me as he is to you.
Berries. Poison.
We lived in Egypt when Jesus was a boy. One of their gods was called Thoth, whom they believed they could compel to grant their wishes if they performed rituals. It's not like that with our God. Why would it be with Jesus?
Nothing good can come from Mary disappearing like this.
Do you know that?
She was already upset about something, even before the possessed man came into camp.
Simon and Matthew are competent searchers.
They do not like each other.
They'll have to work together.
She could be dead or dying in a ditch somewhere. Why would Jesus use her pain to unite two men who are annoyed by each other?
We do not know that she is in danger.
She's a woman alone. She's either in a savage wilderness or a depraved town patrolled by Romans.
Rema, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name Adonai, our God.
I want to be a teacher like Mary someday. I want to be able to write my thoughts.
You will.
Not if she doesn't come back.
We can't fix anything by worrying about it. Lavender.
Can you eat lavender?
All right, so as is his custom, he opens up his new episode with nonsensical dialogue and storytelling. It's
right,
you know, so break this down for us, because there were two scenes there, one between Matthew and Peter and one between Mary, the mother of Jesus, and this young lady that we've never heard of. So break both of them down for us.
Well, course, at the end of the last episode, Jesus sent Matthew and Simon to work to look for Mary. And the first, after the intro, the first scene was Simon and Matthew in a barn or somewhere. I guess they slept there for the night. And so it's showing them waking up to get started to look for her, Mary Magdalene. And it's looking like Dallas is making a point to make it seem as though Matthew is crushing on Mary because of the way he describes her long hair and how she's unusually pleasant to look at, as he puts it. And Simon's kind of catching on, or Peter is kind of catching on to that fact, and he starts laughing to himself. But at the same time, he really doesn't like Matthew. He doesn't want to split up because he thinks that Matthew will get himself into trouble. So he's kind of condescending toward Matthew as mm-hmm. usual. If you think back to that scene where he said he would just never forgive Matthew for being a tax collector and selling out his people. So there's that friction between them two, even with this assignment from Jesus.
Right.
And it's kind of looking like Matthew's kind of getting an inkling as to where to look for Mary, because they saw a drunk Roman soldier coming from somewhere, and he mentions a staircase, and so Matthew might be getting the idea maybe they can go there to look for Mary.
Right.
And then it switches, like you said, to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and this other lady, Rhema, who's the lady that came with Thomas. And I wrote on here, just from this whole scene, Rabbi Mary, because it's like she's teaching this young lady. But the first thing she talks about is how they're out looking for food to eat, and so they're looking for berries or flowers, whatever they can find. And she talks about how they were poor a lot in their family. And it's almost as if she describes Jesus as a bum, because he's
right.
a nomadic preacher who no longer brings in income as a carpenter. So
right.
it's like, is she calling Jika Jesus a bum?
or Charlie Manson.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting that, you know, she's teaching, like, where is Jenkins Jesus? He's nowhere to be found right now in these early scenes. And it's all almost like Mary is saying to Rhema that, you know, the purpose of Matthew and or Mary's situation wasn't really about her. It was more about a way for Simon Peter and Matthew to have to work together to learn to get along. It's a task that was God ordained. If Mary doesn't disappear, then they don't have this opportunity. You know how they talk in some of these crazy coastal circles. So that's
right.
what it sounds like to me. What do you think about those two scenes?
Yeah, again, like you said, here's autistic Matthew developing a crush on Mary Magdalene,
mm-hmm.
you know, scoping her out and looking at all her mannerisms. And I guess it's a puppy love, you know, and Peter, of course,
mm-hmm.
is laughing at it. And like you said, now Rhema, who comes from the Kenneth Hagin camp, and Mary Magdalene are hanging out together. And Mary says, you know, I have a son. He doesn't work anymore. He can't collect unemployment. Unemployment ran out. Also, there's days when we eat and there's days when we don't eat. And but we all know that, you know, she had other children. And
yes.
so, you know, but again, very, very casually, Jenkins Jesus, you know, has no brothers and no sisters. And I guess Mary is left to starve now, you know.
Right.
And so this is just bad. Again, it's just two scenes that make no sense, a waste of time, a waste of film, a waste of writing. Because
and
they don't
completely made up, but that's pretty much that the standard that this didn't actually happen.
Correct. All right, here's more.
Fine, for sure.
Nine is too much.
I came in here with a single shekel to my name, and now look at this pile, huh?
How did you get the first one, woman? What did you do for it?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Hey, are we going to play or what?
Get on with it.
Play. Watch it learn, boys. Watch it learn.
Hey!
Ah, mother of a dog!
First time, whores. Yeah? Hey, another.
Another.
Ah, no sweet son, too.
After loose rule.
Well, we're playing right.
Can't do that. I'm going to win my money back.
Yeah, when?
Now.
I see. Pleasure is slow playing us, everyone. He's actually a lion. You want to win your money back?
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. You'll be behind the bar. Another.
A woman should know her place.
I suppose you're going to show me.
What do we do when we are scared?
We say the word.
Okay, so there Mary Magdalene is Doc Holliday, and
I know, yeah. This is another, it's the scene was showing Mary back in the bar gambling and carousing and drinking with a bunch of pretty rough looking dudes and trash talking them and all this stuff, and I'm thinking another case of Dallas putting 21st century ideas into this, because, you know, nowadays women can be by themselves and go places and do whatever they want. But in a first century woman, even a woman who was of ill repute, I don't think would be by herself in an environment like this doing what she's doing. What do you think, bro? I mean, it just...
Like we said, you know, this guy, he has people on his staff that are supposed to be his consultants, historical consultant, cultural consultants, and either they lied on their degrees or their resumes or whatever, you know. These guys, they just don't know first century... you know, Near Eastern culture and civilization. They just don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again...
Or they just let Dallas do whatever he wants if he insists on telling the story that way. And I'm like, what's the point of the consultants then?
Right. I mean, you have consultants to make sure you get stuff right.
Yes.
You know, I mean, when you bring in a tax person in this way, you know, you don't mess up on your taxes. Right. I mean, in everything,
mm-hmm.
you, You in life, in every aspect of life, you want to put your kids in college and you want to put money aside. You get a financial consultant to, you know, tell you what the best deals are and how much, you know, how much money can you put in and how much are you going to be taxed and is it worth it? Is it not worth it? You talk
right.
to people, right? He showed us his consultants, but I don't believe that he paid them any mind because, again, Mary Magdalene to me looks like I'm watching Tombstone. She's Doc Holliday.
Right.
You know?
One of those women that were in the play in the saloons and you know.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, again, he's all over the place. If you said to me SpongeBob or The Chosen, I'll be watching SpongeBob and Patrick. I wouldn't waste my time with this. This is, you know, it's just so bad on so many levels. It's
mm-hmm.
just, you know, on so many levels, it's just bad. Bad.
So if I had never said anything about this show, would you ever watch it? You know, just thinking
no.
if you never heard anything about it, how long do you think you could last watching it?
Yeah, the first episode would have been enough for me. The first one would have.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I'm a stickler for things being in their order. I mean,
right.
And you know, here's the thing. When you look at the Muslims and the Quran, one of the knocks on the Quran is that they got things all out of order. Right?
Right.
They will have people that live in Abraham's time hanging out with people who live in Noah's time. Their mm-hmm. sense of order is just messed up. And, you know, order in the Bible, order is very important in the Bible.
Well, some people would suggest that there is no real chronological order to the Gospels.
Yeah, but again, I mean, those people would be considered morons. I mean, you know, that's what they, because think about it. You just said it before. John tells us that Jesus' first miracle was at the wedding of Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
John says that's his first miracle.
Right.
So how could you have Jesus doing other miracles on the show first and then doing the wedding of Canaan in the middle? Does that make any
right.
sense? No. So, again, you know, I know when I took English literature, and my teacher was asking questions about Shakespeare and his plays. I made stuff up. And when I got the paper back, the teacher let me know I made stuff up.
Right.
You know, I thought the purpose of going to school was to get things right.
Right. Well, I don't
right?
know, think, I think Dallas went to... took some Bible classes or something, but I don't know how much training he's got, but some of this stuff, you just have to read it to see that his show is off.
Right. I mean, it's that Matthew had a crush on Mary Magdalene. Why are you even going down that path? Why are you even suggesting
that?
And
wouldn't
that
be against Jesus's word talked about looking at a woman with lust, you know, not saying that's – Dallas is just showing it as just a little crush or attraction, but, you know. But then again, Jenkins Jesus hasn't preached the Sermon on the Mount yet, so.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, it's just, look, again, you take the whole movie, just throw it – you take all the film – and just throw it in the garbage. It's this is just poorly done. They got writers who are just writing stuff like, you know, like they're living today. You know, I'm thinking about, hey, when is fentanyl and drugs going to show up on the scene? You know?
You know, when she just going to start smoking some weed or some crack.
Right, right. That's it. You're just saying, you know, when, you know, it's just bad. It's just bad. It's just, you know, like you said in the beginning, look, if he had just stuck to the Bible and just followed the Bible, he could have done a very interesting show. Because no doubt the guy is talented. We're not, listen, we know he can go behind a camera and film stuff. We know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got some talent. But he's a narcissist, right? Mm-hmm. And he's in it for the money. And so when your motives are bad and you can be bought and you can prostitute yourself, it never ends pretty. It never ends pretty. So okay, so you tell me you're a high end call girl that your John pays you $5,000 for a date. You're still a call girl,
right? Right. You know, he may not be on the corner, but he's still a prostitute.
That's it. All right, we got some minutes here, so let's see how this next scene now, what shows up here.
Well, they're back with Thomas, back in the camp with the disciples.
17. 18. 19. 19 servings. And there's 15 of us?
14. If Philip doesn't make it back to
that's true. And 11 if Matthew and Simon don't find Mary.
Only a day's walk to Jerusalem.
If Philip, Matthew, Simon, and Mary don't come back, we can split the remaining 8 servings, but someone would still be left out. And what if the others do come back? We'll have nothing for
them. Maybe Philip stayed an extra day to visit his brother Micah.
Why are you so troubled about Philip? This is literally our last meal. These lentils. We don't even have half a bits of flour or yeast.
Amen. Mary might find Barry.
He can make people walk. He can heal lepers. Why can't they make food appear out of thin air?
When I was with John, sometimes we would go for days without food. Other times, the person he baptized would give us money. We would eat like kings for the day.
It doesn't sound like much of a planner.
We never talked about it. John doesn't believe in money.
Doesn't believe in it? Are you seeing this?
He says it's a man-made construct designed to assign value and take ownership of things that belong to God.
Sounds like the guy needs an accountant. Maybe we should send Matthew to him.
Right now isn't the best time for jokes.
Okay.
Okay, so basically what I see here is this whole apostolic team is in disarray. It's falling apart.
Yes.
Right? These two guys are arguing, right? These two clowns. You got the other two clowns, Peter and Matthew, over there on a wild goose chase. You have Mary Magdalene off somewhere acting as Doc Holliday. You got Mary, the mother of Jesus, saying, I'm starving, my son won't work, he ran out of unemployment. He's basically a bum, you know. So he's planning something big, and the whole team around him is falling apart. What does that sound like to you?
We still haven't seen Jink and Jesus, and the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion, and what I'm seeing here is confusion and chaos.
Right. Right.
So we know that this Jesus is not Jesus.
It's a mess.
He wouldn't be just MIA while all this is going on. It's like he can't be depended upon, and these guys just have to kind of muddle through and figure things out for themselves because Jesus is somewhere else preoccupied with other things. Mm-hmm. Still rehearsing the Sermon on the Mount, or maybe sleeping or something. You know he likes to sleep late.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just stupid.
So it's like, what is Dallas trying to say about the Lord if he's showing him just being absent when it's obvious that his guys need him?
This is just horrible. It's you know, I understand that Little House on the Prairie was corny, Bonanza's corny, Gunsmoke, you know. But
I'll look at all of those before it is.
Right, right, exactly. I'd rather watch a half-hour episode of The Rifleman or Have Gun Will Travel. Or, you know, Wanted Dead or Alive, or Rawhide, or Big Valley. Give me any of those shows, Wagon Train. Give me some Wagon Train than this garbage here. This is just garbage. This is, I'm watching this and I'm saying, this whole thing reminds me of my church that was in disarray. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This,
yeah.
The deacons over here are fighting. The trustees over there are fighting. The women over here are fighting. The men over there are fighting. And then the bishop isn't around.
Exactly. Yep.
He's in Atlantic.
That's exactly
he's in Atlantic
what it looks
City.
Like.
He's in Atlantic City blowing the tithes and offerings. This, you know, wow. This is crazy. This is. All right, we got a few minutes. Somebody here is chopping wood. Maybe they're going to eat, you know, something. Let's see what happens in the next couple of minutes that we have.
I once thought about joining the Zealots.
What? You never told me that.
You never asked.
So, why didn't you?
This very thing. We have enough rules from Torah to follow as it is.
613.
613. All these prayers we have to recite, all these things we can and cannot do, add a bunch of body exercises so that each morning?
They have to be in prime shape, you know?
Mm, to kill people.
Yes.
But rolling out of bed each morning to eat his breakfast, going out on the boat with Abba, seemed pretty great when I thought about it.
But now that he's with us, he's technically not a zealot anymore, right?
I have this theory that for some people like little James and Thaddeus over there, they're called to follow our rabbi, and they just somehow know it is a better path than the one that they are on.
And then there's him.
Mm-hmm. Decades of training for one thing, it cannot just go away overnight.
More worried about Simon than him.
And we've had our moments too.
Ah, yeah, sons of thunder. What is Emma going to think?
I don't know, maybe she'll be glad we got a title.
I wonder how Mary's doing.
I just don't understand why Jesus would pair up Simon and Matthew to go and find her. Matthew. It's like asking a fox and a fish to go and team up and do something productive.
What?
Because they could never work together. It's a saying.
Nobody says that. Anyway. I actually don't understand most of this. Just pieces here and there when good things happen, but the rest, I'm just following.
I have a sinking feeling it's going to take a long time to understand.
For us?
For everyone.
And I guess he made his point that Jesus is a poor rabbi, that everybody's confused. Nobody knows why they're there. They're all starving. They can't make sense of any of Jesus' lessons, and no wonder. Jesus can't get his Sermon on the Mount right.
right.
You know, this is just, again, now we know that this was not Jesus and his band. We know that.
Right. There's nothing in Scripture to suggest that it was this chaotic. But Jesus was always there with them and teaching them and explaining things to them when they were in private. He did go off by himself at times to pray. Most of the time he'd get up early in the morning and do it. And so there were times when he would be separated from them, but I don't think it was this much. And he wouldn't leave them in disarray.
No, he left, like you said, he would leave early in the morning to pray while they were sleeping, or he would go late at night while they were sleeping. The rest of the time, they were together. That's the biblical account. Mm-hmm. So, there were only moments when he was separated from his disciples, but it's not like where Jesus walked through a portal and was in, you know, somewhere
in
else.
In another dimension, in Willoughby somewhere.
Yeah. No, this is crazy. This is just crazy. And Jesus can't be found, and no one can make sense of what he's saying, and no one has a clue as to what's going on here. And this is just, you know, John the Baptist has a better sense in this series. It seems to me John the Baptist has a better sense as to what his mission is compared to Jesus.
Right.
And John
Jesus
the Baptist
is still figuring it out.
No, this is, look, this is season two, right? We're on season two?
Yes.
This isn't worth watching. This is, all these poor people that poured money into this and gave money so that this can be produced, they wasted their money. They wasted their money. This is garbage.
This is bad. But we suffer.
No,
we suffer through it so that we can let the people know.
Right. You know, when he says, and of course, I never saw the movie that he produced for Hollywood, but he claims that it was an awesome movie. But if it's anything like this, I know now why it bombed.
Right. Exactly.
Because he's a bad storyteller. And listen, you can't be bad if you get the script from the Bible. You can't be bad. The Bible already gives you the script, and he blew it. He messed up.
Yes.
So this is awful. This is awful. Well, we stopped it at the 17-minute, 50-second mark. 1750. I'm looking forward to see how Mary Magdalene comes back. I just want to see. I'm just interested to see how she gets redeemed with Jesus in another dimension. You have the last word, my sister. Great show.
Well, as always, just thank everyone for listening. Have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you.